It's now time for the weekly Greyhound Report with Mick Floyd.
The money man Mick Floyd joins us for another big week of Greyhound racing. How are you, Mick?
Very well, thank you, Michael. You're right, it is another big week. Always seems to be. There's always plenty of news in the Greyhound world.
There is indeed. Now, just before we get into the action on the track, have there been much, I suppose, movement of meetings or cancellations with the COVID situation?
There has been, yes. South Australia is off under the lockdown. They won't be racing through, although I did hear the update with Matt Stewart earlier on, so I'm not sure if that's flowed onto the Greyhounds or not, but at this stage, South Australia is off. It's also had some issues around some of the races at Healesville. The National Straight Track Championship has been postponed. The Victorian Series will go ahead, and hopefully the final will be run a bit later in the year, but with the National Straight Track Championship due to be run at Capalabar in Queensland, that has been postponed. That was meant to be run on the 1st of August. So that's another casualty. There's another series up there that's been affected with heats in Richmond, and obviously the $1 million chase is on our doorstep as well. So hopefully we can get things sorted soon, and that series can proceed. It's obviously a massive race on the calendar. So with the regional qualifiers in New South Wales kicking off in a few weeks' time, hopefully we have some sort of resolution. It's probably the wrong word, but the COVID has settled down and we're through that, and that series can go on. But, obviously a lot of participants waiting eagerly to see how that plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. Just before I ask you about the Phoenix, we got some exciting news about the world's only slot race for greyhounds, which is a massive initiative in the world of greyhound racing. Last week, there's been a bit of angst the last couple of weeks between participants and also administrators. Is that thawing? Are we starting to get some cohesion amongst those two groups?
It does seem to be moving in the right direction. So the planned day of action that was due to be held tomorrow has been called off. The two parties have gone to mediation, and hopefully that leads to an outcome that is suitable to both parties. Obviously, we want to see everyone on the same page, and this is a good step in that process. I think there might be talks meant to start this week. I think I haven't heard an update yet, but hopefully we get an outcome and we can move past this, because there is so much good news happening on the track, and with the big races through spring on our doorstep, hopefully we can get through that and concentrate what's happening on the track.
Absolutely, fingers crossed. Speaking of what's happening on the track, Saturday, 18th of December, we have the new race, the Phoenix. The only slot race we've got of its type, $75,000 per slot. I know Gareth's going to talk more about this coming up on Race RSN Central, because he said he's going to buy a slot. That's how well he's travelling. So, but there's been some information released overnight as we count down to the inaugural Phoenix.
There certainly has. Yeah, the conditions have been released and applications open at 9 o'clock this morning. So just had a look through them last night. There's a lot of fine print there, as you'd expect for something like this. But look, it's going to be fascinating to see who puts the hand up and more importantly, puts the hand in their pocket for the $75,000 per slot. There is over $1 million in prize money and $750,000 to the winner. So it will be fascinating to see. Obviously, it's built along the same lines as the Everest, and we've seen how much interest that has generated in its short history. So we've fascinating to see how it translates into the greyhound racing. As you said, Ash will be joining Gareth in about 45 minutes or so, I believe, so he'll have plenty more information on that there. But it will be absolutely intriguing to see not only who purchased the slot, but the deals and the negotiations to get those dogs into those eight spots come December. Obviously, there's a lot of big races between now and then, and there'll be a lot to play out in that space, so it'll be fascinating to see how that comes along.
Do you know who I think should buy a slot? Jai McNeil, Harry Coffey, Dan Bowman, who have a couple of greyhounds flying at the moment. They've got the cash. They might be able to buy one of those slots. It'd be fascinating. It'd be a great concept and very good fun to see how it all unfolds. Just a bit of news too. Manny Stewart's just texted me and said the trots and greyhound racing are back on in South Australia as well. So Matt will have more news on that in a minute, but that is really good news. What else are we looking forward to this week?
We're looking forward to, again, the Meadows on Saturday night, the Maturity Final. We mentioned it last week, just how good this race has been over a long, long time now. It was first run way back in 1970, and some of the greats of the sport have won this race, including greyhounds like El Gran Senor, Barsha Bale, Mpunga Haley, Fernando Bale, Dinah Paddy and Simon Told-Helen last year. It is one of the great races on the calendar, and this Saturday night, the 2021 edition will be run, and look, it's a very, very good race. A couple of big names got rolled. Kablenz, we did everything right night. He's a very fast greyhound. We know I'm a big fan of his. He got nabbed on the line by Aston Fastnet and Aston Rupee, one of the other favourites going in. Didn't have a lot of luck. He missed as well. But very good dogs got through to the final, including Aston Fastnet, as I mentioned. Quara Bale, the Sapphire Crown winner, was outstanding. And Fernando Mick was very good as well. It's a very, very open race. There's not a lot between them going to the first mark. And for that reason alone, I'm leaning towards a bit of value. Number one, Nahari Bale. He won in 30.04 when 5.17 himself, which isn't brilliant. But coming up with box one, I think he can hold his spot on the fence. And if there is some sort of coming together at the first turn and there is potential for that, $14 looks like a great each-way chance for mine. On top, I've got Quara Bale. $3 is not a lot of value there, but look, she was very, very good. She went 5.08 early. Pinch a little bit towards the end, but he's a very, very fast greyhound. If she can lead, I think she'll win. A couple of other notables there. A Handsome Rhino was absolutely outstanding very early on. He was the fastest of the first split, went 29.852, which is just outside Aston Fastnet's best of the night. Aston Fastnet coming up with box number eight. Is only about $4, I think, is a bit of a risk from that draw. Isn't brilliant the first couple of strides, but big concern for mine is where he'll be through that first turn. He's got a lot of dogs to negotiate between him and the fence, and I think at $4 is a bit of a risk there. But that can all change with the scratching. Not that I'm hearing any scratchings, but if there is a change, Kablen is the first reserve and goes straight in. And wherever he jumps from, he will be very, very quick to the first mark and will probably start favourite. So probably hold off until race day before placing a bet, but looking at the market there, Nahari Bale looks of value to mine at around $14.
Good value in the maturity. The Fireball's an open race as well, the final, where Hank the Hustler is a $3.30 favourite. Who do you like?
Yeah, look, it's hard to get past Hank the Hustler. We know he's a very fast greyhound. He's done it at the top level as well. Really nice run by I'm Easy Boys. Ray Hennis trained greyhound there. It was a really good heat winner. And around about $6 is probably a value runner there. Five-star, it was probably shade disappointing in his heat. We know he's a very fast greyhound. Paul Bella did say coming into the race that he's a little underdone and we're better for it. And I've got no doubt that'll be the case looking at that run on the weekend. But he's drawn box seven. That's not going to do him any favours there. I think the pace from the inside, Hank the Hustler in one and I'm Easy Boys, we'll see them leading through that first turn. And from there, it'll be a battle between the two of them. But looking at the market, look, I'm not surprised. Hank the Hustler is the favourite at 3.30. But I wouldn't be taking too much shorter. I'm Easy Boys is the each way go there.
Leave us with a couple of good things tomorrow night.
Yeah, looking at Sandown tomorrow night. Dr. Tucker returned to Sandown Park last Thursday night. It was his first 500 since the Melbourne Cup Series last year, and he was absolutely outstanding. I was a little concerned with him, to be honest, coming into the race, the wide draw and that lack of 500-metre racing. I thought it might find him out, but he was absolutely outstanding, particularly through that first turn into the back. He was brilliant. He's come up again with box seven this week, and interestingly, he's not favourite for the race. Keep It Black is the favourite in the bed, but Dr. Tucker's hard to go past him after last week. Best on the card, race six, number one, Draco Bale. How's this for breeding? Dinah Villa, a Melbourne Cup winner out of Fanta Bale, the greatest prize money winner of all time, a very good greyhound in its own right, has come up with box one in race number six. Will be hard to beat. And if you're looking for a bit of each way value, race two, number one, Aston Amigo. He's come up against Curator, who won in very impressive fashion on Sunday. He went 29.30 in a heat of this series, but coming up with box number eight, I think he's a bit of a risk out there. Aston Amigo, each way, race two, number one.
Good on you, Mick. Enjoy the week.
Will do. Thank you very much.